all this kind of stuff. This just brings to mind, my dad had he worked for a commercial door company for years. He designed a door, he sold a door to NASA, which was round to cover the lens of a telescope. Forget which mountain it's on top of, but it was a door that had to split in half in two moon shapes, and it split like this. The top of that telescope, I believe, was 32 feet around. The stuff they're able to see out there is incredible. And it blows my mind to look at some of this stuff, and so we're going to go over some of this stuff today. But anyway, we'll start out with we're going to talk some math, we're going to talk some astrology, some numbers. Let's start out with something real simple and easy. So I need your input to make this work. So holler out your answers. We won't wait for a mic. We'll just kind of keep moving on through some of this stuff. Anybody know the circumference of what Earth is? How far around it is? You're right. 24,000 miles. 24,901 miles around. It's just about 25. We're 99 miles from 25,000. Yep. Pretty big circle, pretty big ball. We're going to talk some different words today, too. You're going to hear different times, or at least refer to it, innumerable, million, billion, trillion. We all know the word trillion. What comes to mind when you hear trillion? There we go. We hear that one all the time, right? Anybody know how to put that in perspective? Yep. We're going to bring it into perspective a little bit of what a million, trillion, billion is. If you were alive for 1 million seconds, you would be alive for about 11 and a half days. If you were alive for 1 billion seconds, 32 years. If you were alive for 1 trillion seconds, anybody want to take a guess? 32,000 years. Now let's talk about that national debt again. Let's not. It's incredible. The difference between a billion and a trillion is unbelievable. It's mind-boggling. 24,000 miles around Earth, 24,901 miles around Earth. Anybody know the distance from the Earth to the moon? Take a guess. I mean, it's got to be like a trip to town, right? They go up there, walk the moon, come back. Can't be that far, right? Distance from Earth to the moon, 238,855 miles. The circumference of the moon. Now, I wasn't sure exactly what this was till I knew it was smaller than the Earth, but I didn't know quite how it compared to the Earth's size. Circumference of the moon, 6,786 miles. So it's not that big compared to the Earth, a good bit smaller. That would be about like crossing almost 3,000 miles across the straight across the United States. So you could cross and go back, just a little bit back across, maybe about back to the edge of Idaho or something like that, would be about the circumference of the moon. Well, that's what I was going to say. For the circumference of the Earth, you flatlanders are kind of out of there. Sorry. We won't even go into that. Well, I don't know. Do you have an answer for that, Roman? Let's talk the distance. What is the distance from the Earth to the sun? 93 million miles. From Earth to sun. Now, sometimes these don't always work, but we're going to try something here. I'm going to kind of guess. I'm looking for a circle of about 13 and a half inches. Oop. Might be there. I don't know if it is there. That sun got sat on a little. This is the sun. Approximately on this graph of it, about 13 and a half inches circle. If that, I forgot to bring my drink up here. You bring me something to drink. I get dried up so quick when I'm talking. If this was 13 and a half inches around, our Earth, in comparison to the sun, oops, that's too big.
1/8 of an inch.
Circle. Thank you. Yes, that's my... Jake, don't get any ideas here. Water is for washing, so... If the sun was 13 and a half inches around, the Earth would be about 1/8 of an inch. So that's probably a little bit on the big side. If you lined up the Earths across the sun, you could put 109 Earths across the sun, just the width of it, side to side to side to side. Pretty impressive. If you just drop these into the sun, say that was a little slot on top, you just filled that thing up, you could put inside, Earths inside the sun. Anybody want to take a guess? 1,300,000 planet Earths would fit inside of the sun. Now we have, in our galaxy, I have to look at my list because I was trying to do this just thinking off the top of my head and I soon missed one. So in our galaxy, we have the sun, which is our biggest planet. We have the sun, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune. This is in size-wise. Neptune, Earth, Venus, Mars, Mercury, the moon, and Pluto. That's in our galaxy. See, I talked about that going in there 1.3 million times. Oh, yeah, the circumference of the sun. So we talked about the circumference of the moon, 6,786 miles. The circumference of the Earth at 24,900 miles. The moon is a good bit smaller than this yet. About 7,000 miles. This is almost 25,000 miles around. The circumference of this coming around ...2,715,396 miles around the sun. It just starts to get pretty big. Let's talk about speed for a minute. If I was to stand right outside here, and I would be able to run a wire from right here in this parking lot, all start heading out, and we'd go all the way around the world, one wire. And it would come all the way back around. Right beside me would be a light bulb, and I'd have the switch right here. If I could throw that switch, how long does it take for light? Now we're talking like fiber optic cable. They're running fiber everywhere right now to speed up our internet. The speed of light, they can transfer data through the light because it is so clear and goes so fast. That's why we're using fiber optic cable these days, which is nothing more than a plastic wire with light shining through it. If I could throw a switch and make that bulb come on, how long would it take to go all the way around Earth and that light bulb to come on? Any ideas? Take a guess. 1 second. Anybody else? 0.2 seconds?
4 seconds.
4 seconds? You flip that switch, in 1 second, can circle Earth 7.6 times. I believe so. 7.7. 7.7 times around the Earth, light will travel and that bulb comes on in 1 second. 0.13 of a second is the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second light travels. You can see why they're running fiber optic cable. It's pretty speedy. Which is pretty impressive. If I could take that wire, take the light bulb, I'm trying to break this down, and if numbers are getting out of hand, you're going, this guy, nah, it's just blowing my mind. I'm trying to break it down because this is what I wish would have happened when I was in school, because it would have made a whole lot more sense to me. So if I stay standing out here with my switch, I take that wire, unwrap it around Earth, and I stretch it out into the atmosphere, and start stretching it and stretching it and stretching it, going and going and going. I'd go all the way out of Earth, out past, you know, Saturn, Mars, all of these, and I head out past the sun, and that little line,
little string,
is just running, 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 or that little wire is just running out here. I put a light bulb way out there at the end. I flip the switch, and I wait, and I wait, and I wait some more. I'm waiting for that light to come on. I have to wait a whole year for that light to come on. That's one light year. 186,000 miles per second. I flip the switch and I wait for a full year till that bulb turns on out there. That's one light year. We are talking telescopes these days. One of the biggest right now is hovering in orbit 1 million miles off of Earth. Has a diameter of the lens, frontal lens, the front mirror, is 24 feet, 21 feet, 4 inches across that lens. 1 million miles above Earth, orbiting, going around. They can pull in data 13.6 billion light years out that they're pulling information from. And they're taking pictures and they're taking all kinds of stuff. They have a way of monitoring sound that's out there in the atmosphere too. It's incredible. Did you realize that out there, so we're in this galaxy, there is an estimation, because we're out 13.6, that's as far as they can go so far. They'll keep trying to perfect that farther and farther. At 13.6 billion light years out, they say there's an estimation of more galaxies. They can see tons and tons of them, but there is an estimation of 200 trillion galaxies. Just an estimation, because they can't see the end of it. It just keeps going more and more and more and more. They can't get to the end of it. There's just more galaxies. Here's another cluster of galaxies. These work together. These work together. The size of planets out there would absolutely dwarf our galaxy, to where the sun is not even a speck. You can't even see it. I jumped around a little bit. A light year. So we talked about how far a light year is. Wait a whole year for that light to come on when you flip the switch until that turns on at 186,000 miles per second. In one light year, light travels 5.9 trillion miles. Now, we talked about a trillion. It takes 32,000 years if every second was counted. 32,000 years. So it's 5.9 trillion miles that a light year is, which is 5,878,625,370,000 miles, just to be precise. That's incredible. Proxima Centauri, which is the closest star to us in the universe that we can see from here. So we got the sun, we got the Earth, all the other planets circling the sun in our galaxy. Proxima Centauri is the closest star to us, which, you know, we should know a lot about it because it's so close, right? It's 4.24 light years away. That's the closest one. We're talking way, 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 way out past the sun is the first star. That's the closest one to us, which is approximately 4.24 light years away, which is approximately 25 trillion miles to the first star. And they got all kinds of documentation on this because they can pull that up and it's so close to us. I mean, it's right out your back door, right? That's craziness. Most of the stars we see from Earth that we look out and we see that, and there's definitely brighter ones. If you're on a real dark night, no moonlight, you can see some real faint ones that are way off. But a lot of the brighter ones that we see are 100 times bigger than what the sun is. And there are some they have studied, some of the bigger ones they have studied, and they can't say that that's the biggest one because it just keeps going and going and going and going, and they keep finding more and more and more. But one of the biggest ones they have studied is 800 times bigger than what the sun is. One star. Most of them that we see are 100 times bigger than what the sun is, just looking into our night sky. It's just astounding of how far that is off of Earth. Talked a little bit about the biggest telescope, 13.6 billion light years away. It has studied stuff that they can look through cameras. They're looking through that telescope, studying space way out there. There is out there amongst other galaxies, so there's all these other, I think I started saying this, there's all these other galaxies as they go and they keep going farther and farther and farther. Amongst all these, while they're out there recording this, there is an orchestra of music being played out in space. Just music playing. It's incredible. In fact, you can look this up online, listen to it. It's amazing. It's like a giant orchestra playing, and it's just the sounds of all these galaxies. It puts off a music for some reason. Somebody look up for me. Revelations 4, verse 11. Revelations 4:11. Read it out good and loud for us there, Roman.
Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created.
So our little finite minds, we read through Genesis, and God created the earth, the heavens, the earth, all 7 days of creation. And that's kind of where our minds stay, because it's what we see around us. But he has created everything just for fun, is what this verse is. He does it just for the pleasure of doing it, because he gets a kick out of it.
Oh, we talked about the biggest music
that's being played out in the atmosphere with all these different galaxies and stuff. There is an estimation, of course this can only be estimated because you can never count it all. This is the innumerable number. They estimate, looking out through all these galaxies and 13.6 billion light years out, they're estimating how many stars could possibly be, but they don't really know because as far as they go, they just keep seeing more, and there's more and more and more. They estimate, right now from what they see, just because they take into consideration, I guess, a 360-degree camera and start counting, they estimate 200 sextillion stars out there. And you say, well, how much is that? Well, we talked about a trillion. Sextillion, 200 sextillion stars. If I wrote, let's do this. If I wrote the number 200, it would follow with 21 zeros following that would be the number. That's just an estimation of what they've come up with because they're out there looking all around the universe. That's a pretty big number. All this mass, galaxies, planets, billions of stars, millions of light years. Say you're out there looking from, this is probably what got me the most interested in this whole thing of astronomy. I had a guy painted this picture to me one time years ago, talked at our church, and he painted it out so clear to me because I love big numbers. I'm in awe at how deep Lake Kookanoosa is. I'm like, man, that'd be cool to go down there and see that. How deep is it from the bridge? Man, how deep would it be over there? You know, big things, cool things like that that not everybody gets to see. It just strikes an interest in me. Okay, so if we're out, we don't even have to go 13.6 billion light years. Say we just go out a couple galaxies out. I should have wrote down some of the names, but I can't even pronounce some of them. Of some of the nearest galaxies beyond ours, the planets are so huge, it absolutely dwarfs the size of the sun. But you go out to some of them and you start zooming in, zooming in, zooming in, zooming in. And you zoom and zoom and zoom, and all of a sudden you see a speck. And I actually seen a video clip of this, of zooming in from way out, pulling in towards our galaxy, and finally you see a speck. You're like, oh yeah, here comes Earth. And that speck comes and comes and comes and comes and comes closer and closer. Finally, you make out that it's just the sun. And you keep zooming, keep zooming, keep zooming. And pretty soon you see another little spot, and there's the Earth. Teeny tiny Earth. You keep coming closer, closer, and closer. As it gets closer, that Earth starts to show up, and you can start seeing little areas of water, and then landmass, and keeps coming closer. So you keep drawing that in. Pretty soon you start feeling like Google Earth. You know, I kind of get a kick out of looking at Google Earth, and it keeps drawing in. All of a sudden you see North America. And then you come a little closer, there's the United States. Start breaking it down. Oh, there's the state of Montana. There, and you start pinpointing where we're living at. You come in, you get closer and closer, you can zoom right on in. Oh, there's Eureka. There's Lincoln County. There's Lake Coconusa. There's the West Kootenai. And here we are right here in this building. Every single one of us sitting here, created by the same God that made all that. Millions, billions. We're talking miles, astounding numbers. Immeasurable. It's out there so far they can't even measure it because it keeps on going. They just only have the technology to see 13.6 billion light years. They could keep going beyond that, and they probably will if the time keeps existing. They'll probably come up with a better telescope to go farther yet. But here it is. Here we are, a speck that can hardly be seen until you're zoomed way in on just one galaxy, on a planet, in a county, in this area. God created all that, but he created each one of us. That blows my mind. In some ways, you feel pretty insignificant. But at the same time, I feel very amazed that God would take the time to create me and wants a relationship with every single one of us. That blows my mind. Because if you didn't know, every single one of us in our bodies are made up of, what was that trillion? What was that? If you lived a trillion seconds, how many years? 32,000 years. Every single one of us in this room are made up of cells. In our bodies, there are 30 trillion cells that all work together to hold the whole thing together. 30 trillion. Every single one of them cells, you could pull one cell out of there, out of every single one of us, one cell out, break it down. That cell only belongs to your body, only has your DNA in it. Nobody else on Earth. What do we have on Earth? 8 billion people, somewhere in that vicinity. Every single one is different. Every single trillion out of 30 trillion cells per body, you could break down every single one of them. If you broke it down to the seconds, take 32,000 years to get all the cells spread out of your body so you can pull one out of there, your DNA is written on it. God created every single one of them cells to put your body together, to make you work and function together as a whole. If you're not feeling significant this morning, we have a great, great God who deserves enormous amount of praise because he wants every single one of us. He doesn't need us. He wants us to follow after him. He wants every single one of us to follow after him. Go ahead, Roman.
Mind-boggling to me, listening to you describe the creation and becoming fathom. And yet those who
Nowhere else can they even find life. He made all that, the verse says here, if that's what all it's talking about, he made it for his pleasure. All this stuff. But he's like, I want relationships. I want a relationship with somebody like I am. So he created earth and made us people on there with a mind that can think, comprehend, the ability to know him. It is a choice. And we can know this great God that has made so much. It blows my mind. Why does he care? Because he wants us. He wants us to follow after him. I got some verses here. Let's give these out and read them. Several different references here if you guys just want to raise your, whoever would want to read these. Psalms 139, 13 to 14. Somebody want to take that? I see a hand back here. Or somebody raise their hand. I might have missed it. Psalm 139, verse 13 to 14. Gideon. John 1, 3 and 4. Somebody take that. You're going to have to get off your hands now, guys. Elmer, right over here. Jamin, Jeremiah 1, 5. Somebody else on Psalms 139, 17 and 18. Crystal back there. Psalms 145, 1 to 3. Close enough up. I'm going to take you. Psalms 145, 1 to 3. There you go, Stephen. Stanley. Psalms 145, 1 to 3. What else do we have here? Psalms 95, 1 to 7. There we go, right over here, Sydney. Let's have John 1, 3 and 4. Did I give that to you? Okay, John 1, 3 to 4. Go ahead and read it. Nothing was made without him. He's made absolutely everything. We think we've created something here on earth. Nothing was made without him. Let's go to the next one, Jeremiah 1, 5. Everybody hear that? Jeremiah 1:5. Before I knew you, before you were even formed in the womb, I knew you. Anybody believe that? I mean, we look at all this. I mean, he knew us long before. I mean, if he can do all that, unbelievable. I mean, of course he knew us. He knew us long before we were ever even begun to be created. Before we were even made in the womb, he knew it. In the womb, he knew us. Let's see, Psalms 139, 13 and 14.
Bless my reign, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well.
We're fearfully and wonderfully made. 30 trillion cells put together. That's some complexity, isn't it? Makes them all work together. We're the only ones that possess that cell, them set of cells, and every one of us possess a set of cells like that. That's incredible. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Let's go to Psalms 139, 17 and 18. More thoughts about us than the grains of sand on the seashores. That number, they're more than that. So there's that word we were looking at. I thought about writing that down. Innumerable. He has innumerable thoughts about every single one of us. Again, when I start looking at the comparison of all what goes on out there, it makes me think real quick, yeah, he does. I mean, that's nothing for him. To have more thoughts about, I mean, we're talking trillions and billions of light years and everything else. Why couldn't he have more thoughts for 8 billion people on one little planet per person than all of that? Of course he does. They're innumerable. More thoughts about us than of each one of us. than can even be numbered. That was Psalms 139. Let's go to Psalms 145, 1 and 3. Greatly to be praised. I feel like God is greatly to be praised. We sang a song this morning. I leaned over to Crystal and I said, boy, we could sing that song again after we talk about some of this stuff. I am just amazed, blown away by the greatness of God. Oh, in fact, I wrote it at the end. I didn't know really where I was headed for a title on this when I was studying it. But at the end, I wrote in letters across there, and then we sang the song, How Great is Our God. Worship time here this morning. And I wrote at the end of, after the study, and just wrote big letters across, the greatness of God. It blows my mind. And he wants us. He wants that relationship with us. Psalms 95, 1 to 7. Who had that one? Did I give that one out? Psalms 95, 1. Oh, yeah, over here, Sydney, that's right. Version said we are, did it say sheep in there? We're the, no, the flock, I believe it says there. In other translations, it says we're the sheep of his pasture. What do sheep do? If you had some sheep out here and you walked through, who has sheep? Lectures have sheep. Do you have sheep this year? Gloria, you have sheep too, right? If you go walking through their pen, what do? What's that? Do they run away? A lot of times, though, a sheep will... You need to train yours better. A lot of times a sheep, just like when they used to pasture sheep, they take them up into the mountains, they take them wherever the grass was, the greenest, and that kind of thing. The sheep will follow you. You don't chase sheep too well. They follow you when you lead them, which is exactly what they're talking. Go ahead, Gideon.
Gloria's sheep are not what you want to look at.
Gloria, are you raising sheep that are not a good example?
Sheep follow after. And I had to think of that when I was looking at this verse. We are to follow after the great shepherd. Oh, God being our shepherd, we are to follow after. He wants us to choose to follow after him. And with all our heart, with everything. That's where I'm headed with all of this. All this greatness, all this mass, all this, the greatness of God. I am so blown away that he wants every single one of us. He wants us to choose him. But don't think for a second, my friend, that he doesn't care about you. He knows everything about us. He knows the thoughts in our minds before we ever think them. He knows exactly what's going on. My challenge to you today, it's for myself. We would be very foolish and stupid to not give him absolutely everything. Is that not right? He already knows it all. Why would we not give it back to him and say, God, here I am, all of me. Take me, use me, do what you can with me. Because, man, we can make a real mess out of things real fast. So often I find myself holding on to something that I think I've earned, that I've done. You know, I worked hard for this. I earned this. Oh, I've accomplished this. You realize every single one of them phrases starts with I? Let's take that I, give it to God. He's the one that has created you. He gave you them skills. He gave you the everything it takes to do anything we think we can do. It's all his. Give it right back to him. And that blows my mind. That about brings tears to my eyes because I'm amazed. It does bring tears to my eyes because He cares about us so much. And he wants us to make that choice to say, God, here I am. Whatever I can do. I've made a real mess out of it. And I'm not, every single one of us, we have been raised in 100 different places. And we all have a story. But every single one of our stories are exactly the same. And what that is we try and we try and we try to fill that void until we realize there really is no other option except Jesus Christ. And we try a million different ways. Take that mess that we've made, give it to the Lord. And I mean absolutely everything. God, here it is. And he can take absolute horrendousness and turn it to beauty. I have seen that. You guys have seen that. I know you have seen that transformation. It is amazing what God can do with the mess that we create. I'm telling you, he still wants it. There's many verses. I wish I had pulled up even more verses because there's verses in there. He is a jealous God. He wants all of it. He wants all of us, every single bit of it. Oh. He wants our thoughts, our plans, our wants, our desires. As deep as you want to dig, he wants every bit of it. And I think he's very worthy of every single bit of it. Every second that we're here on earth, he deserves it. Just for making us. Just for creating us. That's about really all I have. Oh, I know we're a little early, and that's fine. We got some other stuff we want to do here towards the end of the service. Can you stand with me? This song is in the Red Books, number 96. This song just kind of goes along with what we were talking about this morning. So let's sing that together. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of your You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God. Stand in awe of you. I hope this morning standing, raising hands, whatever it is, that is a sign for me of surrender. God, here I am. I hope every one of us this morning surrender absolutely everything of who we are. I believe we serve a great God, much greater than we even know, but he wants us to know him. You can be seated. Get in.